A pastor falls on hard times and is forced to sell his beloved horse. He explains to the new owner, "Remember to say, 'Praise the Lord,' if you want the horse to go. Say, 'Amen,' if you want him to stop." You got that? You say, "Praise the Lord," if you want the horse to go. You say, "Amen," if you want him to stop. "Okay, I got it," the new owner said as he mounted the horse. And he said, "Giddy up," but with no results. "Oh, yeah," the new owner said, "praise the Lord." And the horse starts off. "This is nice, but I'd like to go a bit faster," he says to himself. So he says, "Praise the Lord." And again, the horse goes a bit faster. This continues a few more times until he's running along very fast. There's a cliff ahead, and he says, "Stop! Whoa, stop!" Nothing happens. Then he remembers, "Amen." And the horse stops only inches from the edge of the cliff. The new owner wipes his brow and sighs, "Praise the Lord." You may wonder why I'm up here. This is my feeble attempt to lift God up a little higher. Worship is at the heart and the pulse of the Christian church. In worship, we celebrate together God's gift of creation and salvation, and we are strengthened to respond to God's grace. Worship always involves action, not merely words, but a lifestyle. If you look through the Bible, you'll see there's very little in the New Testament about form, style, and content of corporate worship. So we must conclude that God has left that matter of form, style, and content to the judgment of our spiritual wisdom. This morning it is to that wisdom that I would like to appeal. Let our worship not be based on whim or tradition, but on prayerfully thoughtful, self-critical, Bible-saturated, God-centered, Christ-exalting reflections, impressed by the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to rest, rule, and abide in our lives. Praise is what we offer in acknowledgement of God's excellent being. You might think praise is the same as saying thank you, but there's a difference. Thanksgiving describes our attitude toward God, what God has done for us, while praise offers God. For praise is an offering to God for who He is. We've read Psalms 150 this morning. I'd like to just share that again with you. Psalms 150. You might want to turn in there with us. If you have a pencil, I'd like for you to take notes this morning, because I want you at the end to check to see if these things that I said, be like the Bereans, are true. So if you need a pencil, I have a few if you would like to take notes. But I encourage you to take notes this morning, because I think this sermon will be something that will open our eyes. And Psalms 150 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmaments of His power. Praise Him in His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of tambourines. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the string instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord." How could the command be clearer? We are commanded to praise the Lord. We were created for praise. Turn with me or write this down, Isaiah 43:21. And it says, "This people have I formed for myself, for they should declare my praises." The word praise, simply put, is expressing esteem for a person. When we acknowledge a person for their virtues or for their accomplishments, in reality, we are praising that person. Praise is really declaring that a person is worthy of honor. But praise to God is much more than that. The English word praise comes from a French origin, puissance. And puissance means to prize something. The word prize gives us a little better glimpse of what the word praise really means. To praise God means to prize God. To break it down a little clearer, if that's not clear enough, the word prize, of course, means to value, to esteem, to cherish. It also can mean to estimate as of worth. In other words, in praising God, we are estimating his worth. We are estimating our value of him. No words are adequate to express the worth of Jesus. The degree to which we praise and worship God is the degree of his worth to us. If there's anything that God wants from us, it is our worship and our praise. In praise, what we should be doing, whether we realize it or not, is gathering all the facts that we know about God and putting these facts into words. Words of praise, words of thanksgiving. Now it follows the less you know about God, the less you're able to praise him. And this is where the Bible comes in. So if you want to praise God more, you need to have a revelation of who God is. And the chief way to get that revelation is in the Word of God. The Word tells us that he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the bread of life. He is a bridge over troubled water. He is a lily of the valley. He's a bright and morning star. He's a Lamb of God. He's the great I am. You've heard the word appraisal, haven't you? It's a real estate term, and it's usually has to do with the value of a house. Now that our praise is our appraisal of God, how we value him. Now that I've given you a glimpse, and just a glimpse, of what praise is, I want to share you how praise should be expressed. Turn with me to Psalms 103. And it reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." The whole life is to be a psalms of praise. The soul or the spirit is made up of the mind, the emotions, and the will. Every fiber of our being should be involved in praising God. Praise should be expressed enthusiastically, exuberantly, and unrestrained. As I studied, and I want you to study for yourself, I find very little in the scriptures for conservative, reserved worship. Turn with me to Psalms 100. You're familiar with that Psalms. And it says, make a, what kind of noise? A joyful noise unto the Lord. Psalms 95 takes it a step further and says, in some translations, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let's try a little experiment. When I say praise the Lord, I want you to say hallelujah. It means the same thing. When I say praise the Lord, I want you to say hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When I say hallelujah, I want you to say praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Let's do it again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're getting there. Now, I know this noise wouldn't be tolerated in a lot of churches, but what does the Bible teach? A close study would reveal that praise is meant to reflect the greatness of God. By loud, jubilant, exciting praise, we honor God. Turn with me to Hebrews 13:15. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise God of praise to God continually. This is the fruit of our lips. Now, I grant you this type of praise can be misunderstood and misinterpreted, especially in some churches. Because when somebody really gets excited and praising God, well, folks get a funny look on their face and start looking around. And they might think that their exhibitionists are showing off. And that can be true in many instances. Often people abuse the liberality of their praise and just want people to focus upon them. All worship can be done hypocritically and for show. But are we going to stop worshiping because some people do these things pretentiously? Are we going to stop giving because some people give for show? Are we going to stop praying because some people pray to be seen? Far from it. We expose the counterfeit by the genuine. It is a master stroke of Satan to frighten Christians away from exuberant praise by using the abuse of others. If you want to know how to praise God and yet avoid extremes, here's a principle that needs to be followed. Are we God conscious or are we self-conscious? In other words, the more we are conscious of God's presence, the more blind we will be to the presence of those around us. Was David self-conscious when he danced naked before the ark of God? Was Mary Magdalene self-conscious when she anointed the feet of Jesus? What I believe restrains and restricts our exuberant praise is our fear of people and what they may think of us. That mother who sees her wayward son, whom she prayed for years, give her heart to the Lord, is she going to say, thank you, Jesus? That husband who sees his wife beat cancer, is he just going to quietly say, thank you, Jesus? I don't think so. In the end, it boils down to what is our attitude toward God. When we feel the spirit of worship welling within our souls, but something is confining it, we need to fall upon the rock, Christ Jesus, and be broken, so that the spirit of praise might come forth. Turn with me to John 7:38. And it says there, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I believe this living water is praise prompted by the Holy Spirit. As we believe in Jesus and what he's done for us, we will praise him. There are many styles of worship in the church today, and God loves them all. Many congregations get hung up on a certain type of worship and seem to stick with that style only. God doesn't want us to get stuck in a rut in our worship. Worship should be spontaneous and alive. Worship is a celebration. I don't see you going to the basketball game and just sitting like you are now. Worship is a celebration. If the Spirit inspires you to wave your hand, wave your hand. There's scripture for that. If the Spirit inspires you to clap your hands, clap your hands. There's scripture for that. If the Spirit inspires you to say amen, say amen. There's scripture for that. God can be praised in many different ways. Let us not be so narrow-minded to think that our style of worship is the only style there is. We serve a mighty big God. Let me ask you the question. How do you think God views our half-hearted praise, our heartless mumbling of prayers, our mimicking of hymns and our wore-out cliches? Is this the kind of celebration that God meant our worship to be? Turn with me to Luke 19. Let's see what Jesus himself desires. Let's see if Jesus desires this exciting, enthusiastic, exuberant praise. Verse 37 says, "And when they had come near, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice." And 39 says, "And some of the Pharisees said unto him, Master," and I'm paraphrasing this a little bit, "rebuke your disciples. This kind of behavior is unseemly, it's unbecomingly. Tell them to be quiet." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you, if these hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Now that we've talked about praise and how praise should be, I want to share three things that praise can do for us. First of all, praise can accelerate answer prayer. Christ's disciples were very impressed by his prayer and his habit of communing with God, so much so that they exclaimed, "Lord, teach us to pray." That prayer, better known as the Lord's Prayer, begins with praise. The first 10 words are praise, the last words are praise. The reason the Lord taught us to pray this way is that praise is a means of accelerating answer to prayer. Why would the disciples be so impressed with Jesus' prayer life if he didn't get results? Praise gets results. When God gives a promise, having prayed for the promise and then prayed for the promise, you have a cast iron guarantee from his word that he will answer. An hour of praise is worth a day of fasting and mourning, because praise has the power to accelerate prayer. Number two, praise has the power to encourage the miraculous. In Acts 16, we see Paul and Silas were in jail in the midnight hour, and they were heard praying and singing praises unto God. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosened. At the shout of praise, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Praise encourages the miraculous. Another thing, praise heals the soul and calms the spirit. We read in 2 Kings chapter 3 where Elijah got so frustrated and annoyed with the king of Israel that he needed his spirit calm. And he said, "Bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hands of the Lord came upon him. Not only was his soul calm and his spirit given peace, but he prophesied with the Spirit of God upon him in answer to prayer. We read in Psalm 22 that God inhabits the praise of his people. If you want to experience victory, if you want to experience a true revival in our church, we need to learn to praise God. It's all about change. If we continue to do the things the same way that we've always done them, the results will always be the same. Praise is not a cultural thing. It's an experience with Christ. Let us put away all self-centeredness. Let us not be afraid of what others might think of us. Let us put away those traditions that would keep us from exuberant, heartfelt praise. There are angels who do nothing but sit at the throne of God and praise him day and night, for he is worthy of praise. These angels ask the question, not because they do not know the answer, but they ask the question because they like to praise God. Who is the King of Glory? And the response is, because they love to sing his praises, "Lord God Almighty, he is the King of Glory." Don't take my word about praise. Study it out for yourself and see if these things are true. Let's learn to praise God. Let us pray. Father, we pray that the spiritual surgery that we have performed today will have its desired impact on our hearts. It will be evident not only in contrite nor man-inspired volumes of praise, but in heavenly way, motivated by the Spirit of the breath of God in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.